You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We're all just having so much fun. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to First Take on this Friday Eve. Stephen A. Smith is back. Hello, Stephen A.
Hey, Max Kellerman.
Good to see
Friday
you.
Eve.
Good morning.
Love it, Molly.
We got a lot to get into today. Thank you. Let's start with Giannis. And after he hit that turnaround jumper, fellas, to seal the deal and beat the Sixers in OT, he just did a little Beyonce, sit back, it's the pregame show. I won't say the rest of the line because I want to keep my job. Giannis tweeting this, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Fellas, he put up 32, 15, and 5 in 43 minutes, beating the team with the best record in the East. Stephen A. Smith, was this more about Giannis Antetokounmpo or the Philadelphia 76ers?
Well, to me, it was more about Giannis Antetokounmpo because we know he's a reigning two-time league MVP. We know that he's a superstar in the National Basketball Association. But you got to show up when the postseason counts. And so, to me, even though he deserves his money, he deserves the praise that he has received. As I have tried to educate Max Kellerman, and I've had to educate Max Kellerman on several occasions about this, you got to have a perimeter shot when all is said and done, when you're going to win on the NBA level in this day and age. If you don't have it, you ain't going to win. And so when you consider some of the moves that have been made, you just acquired P.J. Tucker, you acquired Jrue Holiday in the offseason, should have had Bogdanovich, but somebody opened their mouth a bit prematurely, and that deal got nixed. The reality is, despite all of that, with the personnel that you have in place, if Giannis is everything he's supposed to be, and then some, then the Milwaukee Bucks should be that team finally coming out of the Eastern Conference. Not the Brooklyn Nets, not the Philadelphia 76ers. But none of us believe that. We believe it's going to be Brooklyn or Philadelphia. We haven't been talking much about Milwaukee, even though they've been winning more games than they've been losing. In the end, we look at them because we've seen them fold in the last two consecutive playoff years. And as a result, the level of faith that we should have in them doesn't exist. Now, I don't want to hear a damn thing about Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard talking about you want to stun him or whatever the case may be. I mean, please. Dwight Howard has had his share of celebrations over the course of his career. When he was dominating the league as a defensive player of the year, when he was being very, very formidable, when he was a guy that was winning with the Los Angeles Lakers last year, he was celebrating. But now that somebody celebrated on your home court, you're going to have an attitude? Grow the hell up. No, that ain't cutting it. Handle your business. The Philadelphia 76ers are expected to get their shot against Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. But I will say again, even though they'll get their shot, and I think with a healthy Embiid, they beat Milwaukee, Max, I am of this mindset. Giannis, I had no problem with him sitting on the court. But in the end, you got to back it up when it counts. Yep. It's real easy to do that in the regular season. Let's see what you do when the postseason arrives.
Going to make my point. I want to respond to something you said first.
Sure.
Well, number one, we all celebrate Carmelo Anthony's. Even I said he should go play in China a couple years ago. I thought he was cooked. And I'm like, okay, you got to give it up. This dude is balling. What a career renaissance. Same thing with Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard's had quite a career renaissance. He is a valuable player right now. All right.
Mike's calling him a scrub.
Look, as it pertains to Giannis, because I really think this game is about the Sixers, Giannis does not have a real crime partner. P.J. Tucker, all these guys, you know, obviously Middleton and Jrue Holiday and all this. A big needs another dude as good as him if he wants to win a championship. That's how it works. In the presence of teams that have more than one superstar, the Nets have three. The Lakers have two. There's one on the Bucks. That kind of team, like Hakeem and supporting players, they can win when Jordan's out of the league. They ain't going to win when Jordan's in the league. Shaq needed Kobe and Wade. You know, even Penny wasn't enough. Kareem needed Oscar Robertson and Magic Johnson. Another dude as good as him who's not a big. So I think you're a little hard on Giannis. That's one. And the thing you put me up on, actually, the thing that you were right about is Giannis is actually a big. Don't tell me you schooled me about perimeter shots. Everyone knows you got to shoot. But Giannis, your point was Giannis is really more of a big than a wing. That played out. That was true. This game was about the Sixers, Stephen A. If I'm a Sixers fan this morning, I feel really good about my team. No Embiid, who's clearly and by far the best player on that team, who's having an MVP season. In fact, if the season ended when he got hurt, I'd have given him the MVP. I think he would have won it. He's not there. And what do they do? Second of back-to-back. Knicks just gave him a good game, right? Second of back-to-back. They have a lead. Ben Simmons, you can see, has strength now he didn't used to have, physical strength to guard Giannis. He was doing an excellent job early. But second of back-to-back after a tough game against an excellent team, they wear down slowly over the course of the game. And now Ben Simmons can be pushed around by Giannis a little bit. And look, Seth Curry wasn't hitting shots, and then he left with an injury. We hope everything's okay there. So many things. Thibel can't hit a shot, right? Ben Simmons, we know about his shot. All these things are true. Tobias Harris had a bad game in an otherwise excellent season, and yet it came down to the wire. We're talking about overtime. So if I'm a Sixers fan, I'm like, the Bucks are loaded as usual. They're excellent. And we're coming down to an overtime in the second of back-to-back without Embiid? Stephen A., KD better – if KD comes back, no one's stopping the Nets. If KD doesn't come back as KD, Sixers can get out of the East.
First of all, a couple of things. Number one, I always school you on basketball. That's number one. Number two, it's very, very important to point this out. You have zero credibility on two subjects more flagrantly than everything else. The one is with Tom Brady, where you were wrong, where you were wrong for 3 years, and you actually came on national television. I'll give you credit because I never heard this in my life. It's very, very unique. I heard somebody be wrong about an individual player for 3+ years. And then came on the national television and looked in the camera and said, because I was wrong for so long, that makes me the expert
on him. Oh, get it right. That's I didn't say
said.
That.
Yes, you did. No. You said I'm the expert on him because I've been wrong. But Molly was right
Max
there, Max.
The
Molly was right
there.
Molly was right there.
Max, I don't mean
to.
Wait.
Let Molly
Max,
speak. Let Molly speak.
The ultimate spin doctor. Okay. I told you, if I ever get myself into a dicey situation, Max, I'm calling you. That Columbia
that's
education.
Yeah, that's
true.
However, that's not what
that's
I said. I will
tell you.
Can, you can,
Molly,
you
I,
can
will,
spin
I need to
it
say
off.
What I said. Now he's misquoting me.
Go ahead. I'm
okay.
Not misquoting you.
Go ahead.
What I said.
Go ahead before I go on.
Everyone else assumed Brady would do it. Why is everyone giving him credit?
Time out. Time
I assumed
time
that like the rest of his
don't go on a soliloquy. Don't go on
a
soliloquy. Don't go on a soliloquy. Did I not
ask? That's what I said.
No. Did I not ask you on that? National television. So that makes you the expert on Tom Brady that you've been wrong? And he was like, yes.
Guilty.
Did you not say that?
Guilty.
That's all I'm saying. That's
does
all
that
I'm
not sound
now
like you, Max Kellerman?
Does that not sound
like something you would say with a wink?
That's right. Now, let's say it wasn't with a wink, Mac. Not with those thick eyebrows. It wasn't wink. We'd have noticed the wink. That's number one. Number two, Max Kellerman, is it not you who had Giannis Antetokounmpo a couple of years ago as the number one player in the world on a Thursday, and Monday you had him at 5.
Something like that.
Something like that. Not definitively, right? Because I said 1-5. I didn't say 1-4 or 5. I said 1-5.
Sure.
That wasn't you?
Sure.
Okay.
That was
no
sounds
problem.
Like
I didn't want to make sure. Okay, it sounds like you. Plausible deniability.
Handsome
I know
guy,
you, I know exactly
eyebrows.
How you think. Molly, I know exactly how you think. It's plausible deniability.
Sounds
no,
like you.
I'm mad at you. It's very, very slick. Here's the deal. In the end, when we look at Giannis right now, it's not just about the perimeter shot. It's about what you do come postseason, because postseason time, defenses get back. They slow the game. They turn it into a half court. That's why we love and marvel at Showtime from the 80s with Magic and the boys, because no matter what, you couldn't stop their fast break. They will go get fast breaks. It's very rare in the day that you were going to be able to slow them down. What
open
they did
court,
to you during
it.
The regular season, you couldn't stop them come the regular season. Now, obviously, in postseason, you could always throw it to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. We get all of that. But Magic, Worthy, Byron Scott, Michael Cooper, they push the ball. In today's game, even those who know how to run, at the end of the day, you're going to slow the game down, and they're going to force you to be something you're not, and you're going to have to deliver in that regard. And that's where Giannis Antetokounmpo struggles. He's got his number. He's averaging 29 and 12 right now. We get that. But the point is, how are you going to get it, and when are you going to get it when it counts in the postseason? And all I'm saying is, since we see that in the regular season, you've had 2 years where you folded in the Eastern Conference Finals, y'all lost four straight, and then last year y'all got bum-rushed by Miami. And you've seen how I've resurrected the Miami Heat franchise. I called them out, and they have, they're like 11-1 since then. They heard my pleas for South Beach, Max. They heard my pleas for
Sometimes
South Beach.
If you don't Jimmy your own Butler, horn, there's no music.
And Jimmy Butler and the crew has answered the call, and I'm loving it. But if you're Giannis in Milwaukee,
all right, I need to address that.
Sure.
You're boiling it down just to the shot. If you're talking about Ben Simmons, you got it. Ben Simmons got to shoot. Stephen A., it's not just like from 15 feet, from like 10 feet. Get a floater, get something. He can't shoot unless he's in the paint, right? He can't score. That's true. Giannis can shoot a little bit. The issue with Giannis is he really is a big. He can initiate the offense when he's, you know, going downhill, but in a half court off the dribble, it's not quite the same. His handles are not like Ben Simmons. So without a really great shot and without handles like Simmons, he really is a big. And what I'm saying is I don't have to sit here and say Kareem couldn't, you know, would have never won without Magic, because I could tell you definitively he didn't. Until he had Oscar Robertson in Milwaukee and Magic in L.A., he won 6 titles. 5 with Magic, 1 with the Big O. None without them. None. Shaq had Penny. Penny was a great player, but even Penny was not on Shaq's level. He needed Kobe. He needed Wade. Dudes on his level just about in order to win championships. It's the nature of bigs throughout the history of the NBA. So, like, you know, you're talking about Giannis has to shoot. What I'm saying is they need to get him a crime partner who's on his level. And I love Drew Holiday. Mm-hmm. Middleton's excellent. They got a lot of good pieces, but they don't have a legit crime partner for Giannis. That's the problem.
But if you can defend, if you can rebound, if you can shoot, and your star plays like a star, that's enough. You saw that.
Like a wing.
You saw that with the Detroit Pistons when they beat the Lakers. The fact of the matter is there wasn't one single dude on that squad that you looked at as an all-time great. With Chauncey, with Rip Hamilton, Tayshaun Prince, Rasheed Wallace, Big Ben Wallace, the whole bit. You did not see that. All I'm trying to say to you is that.
That's every 20 years.
But you said, all right, well, it's 20 years later. The fact that 20-plus years later.
So can you give Giannis some time?
No, all right, Joe.
His career ain't over.
No, we're talking about this season. And I'm saying that if you are Giannis and you are what we think you should be, you have enough. You have enough.
Not in a league with KD, Harden, and Kyrie.
Is Giannis that dude? Yes or no?
Yeah, but so is KD. Got two dudes with him.
He's not that dude. Listen, Kyrie and James
Give Harden. Giannis Harden and Kyrie.
Kyrie and James Harden are not winning without KD.
But give Giannis Kyrie and Harden.
KD is a different dude.
If you swap KD and Giannis, the Bucks would be in the same position, and so would the Nets. And we'd all like the Nets to win.
You say that, but I would challenge you on this. If you're looking at Giannis as the guy to carry you, we got to ask him to do that. If he does that, you can win. Period.
If he plays like a wing, you can win.
Giannis at his best. You're saying it's not enough. He needs. I'm saying we don't say that about the other superstars in the league. In other words, them at their best is perceived as being enough.
No.
I look at Giannis, and I'm looking at Milwaukee, and I'm saying, personnel, write what you got right now. If Giannis can be that dude, it's enough.
Okay.
But he's not yet.
But Embiid,
he's not
Embiid
yet.
Is on that level, is on the Giannis level. KD is on the Giannis level. LeBron is on the Giannis level. You know what the difference is? Mm-hmm. Embiid has Simmons better than anybody that Giannis has. Simmons better than any of those dudes. Mm-hmm. LeBron has AD, same thing. KD has Kyrie and James Harden, and Giannis has a nice supporting cast. He doesn't have anyone
like that. I don't
like
how you say KD has Kyrie and Harden because he doesn't need both.
But he got him.
I'm saying, he doesn't need both. Forget what he has for a second.
He had Westbrook. He didn't win a championship.
Time out. Don't annoy me by changing the subject. What I'm saying to you is that.
You're talking about what he needs.
No, I'm saying to you, KD does not need both of them to come out the East.
Oh, you should.
He doesn't.
What about to win a championship?
He wouldn't need. I think to beat AD and LeBron, yes, not anybody else. But KD doesn't need it. Giannis, by you saying what he needs, shows he ain't that dude yet.
He had Westbrook.
He needs to be that dude.
He had Westbrook, who was playing at MVP level and a real supporting cast. He didn't get out of the West.
Listen, right now we're looking at Philadelphia and Brooklyn. If KD was on Milwaukee instead of Giannis,
yeah,
we wouldn't think about it. Wouldn't even be a thought. Wouldn't even be a thought.
Hold up.
Wouldn't be a thought.
But now you got to put Giannis on.
Time out. If Giannis was with James Harden or Kyrie, not both.
Wow.
Listen to me. I'm just talking basketball, Max. If Giannis was with Harden or Kyrie, it wouldn't be enough. I'm saying a healthy KD with one of them would be enough.
You're saying, but you haven't seen it.
If that's true, he'd have done it by now. But the reason why I'm saying it is because I'm looking at a two-time champion who averaged 35 in the finals, who's one of the prolific shooters the game has ever seen. We're going back to the dissecting the game of Giannis. It's not playoff ready like that for a championship. I'm saying he needs, if Giannis could shoot from the perimeter, none of this is an issue.
If you gave Giannis
none of this is an issue. He shoots 29% from three, by the way.
You're saying, like, and I believe that this is true. I'm saying, here's what we know is true. KD won his chip with Steph and Clay and Dre, right? Give Giannis Steph and Clay and Dre.
I understand that. Okay. I understand that. But what I'm saying to you, he shoots 67% from the free throw line. He shoots 29% from three-point range. Come playoff time, they know they can't stop Giannis at the basket. They know they can't stop him in the open court. They hustle back on defense. Yep. They keep a body in front of him. They make him shoot perimeter shots from time to time, and he struggles. I'm saying you can't do that
to the rest of them. What I'm saying is if you could do that to Shaq, right? Like if he played today.
Which is why Kobe was closing.
Okay, that's right. Kobe was closing. I love Drew Holiday. He's not Kobe.
Right.
At least get someone in there like that.
But I'm saying Giannis needs that. KD would not. That's all I'm saying.
The chip up?
Okay. Facts speak for themselves.
The Bucks did acquire P.J. Tucker last night from the Rockets.
So, that's a big
pickup.
There's that, right? They did have that. All right. I'm so wrong, I'm right, Max Kellerman.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Serious news to get to here, fellas. Two massage therapists have filed civil lawsuits against Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson, alleging inappropriate conduct by Watson last year. The first lawsuit was filed on Tuesday, the second on Wednesday. Both allege that Watson committed civil assault when touching two separate plaintiffs on two separate occasions. Watson responded to the first lawsuit on Tuesday night, denying the allegations. Quote, "As a result of social media posts by a publicity-seeking plaintiff's lawyer, I recently became aware of a lawsuit that has apparently been filed against me. I have not yet seen the complaint, but I know this. I have never treated any woman without anything other than the utmost respect. The plaintiff's lawyer claims that this isn't about money, but before filing suit, he made a baseless six-figure settlement demand, which I quickly rejected. Unlike him, this isn't about money for me. It's about clearing my name, and I look forward to it." Now, Houston lawyer Tony Busby, who represents the women's, said today a third lawsuit alleges that Deshaun committed sexual assault when he forced them to perform oral sex on him. Whoa. Okay. Stephen A., your reaction to these allegations against Deshaun Watson?
Doesn't look good. Doesn't look good at all. you have multiple allegations levied against you, then that becomes more than it being about a publicity-seeking attorney. Even though that attorney may very well be seeking publicity, it doesn't negate the fact that he has multiple, individuals that have filed complaints. And so as a result of that, that's not good. That's not good at all. Deshaun Watson is clearly in some trouble here. There is no denying that. I personally believe in innocent until proven guilty. I get that. But, you know, at some point in time, as I'm popular for saying, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it ain't a damn mongoose, meaning that when you have multiple allegations levied against you, it's an incredibly daunting situation to begin with. And one of the things that I also want to mention, I'm certainly not trying to get political here, but we all know what's been permeating the news airwaves over the last few weeks or so as it pertains to Governor Andrew Cuomo in New York, in the state of New York, because of what allegations have been levied against him. So you've had people's antennas up for many, many years, dating back to Ray Rice and beyond, and some of the things that have transpired, even though that wasn't sexual, that was domestic violence. But nevertheless, so many women coming forward talking about how their stories were not heard and they were summarily dismissed, and how we as a society had to stand back and recognize the fact that we haven't given a lot of these women throughout history the respect and deference they deserve in terms of highlighting some of the things that they were saying were transpiring. And so because of that, the leagues themselves have their antennas up. And in the National Football League, where it becomes even more interesting, remember, the court of law, civil courts, but then there's also the NFL. The NFL says you don't have to be found guilty. The NFL says you don't have to, you know, settle and that's it. No, 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 no. There's the court of the National Football League here. If you've done something to impugn or to sully the shield that is the National Football League, we will deal with you. And so you got all of that going on right now. And then there's also the issue of him wanting to be out of Houston. Well, what team is great as I think Deshaun Watson is? And again, I want to emphasize, I'm about innocent until proven guilty. You know what? I'm not going to look at him and say, because these allegations have been levied against him, that he's guilty. But what I will say, it does not look good. And it will potentially make other teams fearful of touching you because they want to do their research, find out what the facts are, Max, mm-hmm. and what have you. And because of that, it might stall the momentum in order to pursue Deshaun Watson, who has made it clear he wants out of Houston. So if you're the Houston Texans now, if you wanted to get rid of him, it could have compromised you. But they swore up and down and have sworn up and down they do not want to get rid of him. He's our quarterback. Now you might not have to worry about that at all, because where's he going? We might see ourselves in a situation where Deshaun Watson could end up being innocent of these allegations that have been levied against him and still find himself suspended because the NFL believes he put himself in a compromising position to have these allegations levied against him and as a result can exact punishment and rain it down upon him. So it is a very dicey situation for him to be in, no question about it, and he's got a lot to deal with right now because if it's one person, that's bad enough, but it's multiple, and that makes it even worse.
Max, obviously, I want to hear from you. I just want to get these notes in very quickly here. These are not criminal allegations. I just want to be clear on that. And also, Watson and his attorney have not responded to this third allegation that I just read to you when I was teeing you up earlier, the latest one that just came out during the show. Max?
This is a thorny subject because, on the one hand, there's a presumption of innocence.
Yes.
And you don't want any accusation to sully someone's reputation. And on the other hand, it is, I think everyone is much more aware, we're much more culturally aware now of the fact that victims are so often not believed. And so when you have an accusation like this, obviously it must be taken seriously, and you also want to be careful not to sully the accused's name before the facts come out. I will say that people start to look into details, to start to try to get some sense of what they might believe about a famous person whom they like. When Deshaun Watson's name came up in trade talks, right, he demanded to get out. One of the points I made was that the Texans look really bad because this isn't just anyone who doesn't like their organization. It's Deshaun Watson, whose reputation on and off the field is so is immaculate. And now we'll see if that holds up, you know, as the facts come out. On the one hand, he refused to settle according to him. And that makes you think, because and the fact is athletes are oftentimes targets for accusations in order to get settlements out of them. And he could have made this go away for a six-figure settlement. Mm-hmm. Well, why didn't he just do that? Well, he must believe he's innocent.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you might think, well, if I set that precedent, everyone's going to be coming at me and I'm going to have to settle for six mm-hmm. again and again. You really don't know. You just don't know. More than one woman has come forward. And so immediately human nature is, well, this is not just one person. This is two. Now there's three. Where does it end? They all sound, it sounds similar. That makes you think, wait a minute, what are the odds? If they're all represented by the same attorney, on the other hand, you have, this is why it is so important in these cases, not to absolve Deshaun Watson before facts come out, because you like him or because you watched him play or you feel that you know him, in the case of the media, because you may have spoken to him a couple times, as we have. But you got to let the facts come out because we just don't know enough right now. Mm-hmm. We do know enough to say that these are very serious allegations, and time will tell.
It's serious allegations, as Molly highlighted, and I should have highlighted initially with my soliloquy, that it's not criminal charges. A matter of fact, I will acknowledge that my antennas are raised at that attorney as well because, excuse me, Deshaun Watson, I'm signed for $160 million, and you're coming at him with multiple allegations and you only asked for a six-figure settlement, okay, and then you tried to settle before publicizing this. I mean, there's a lot of things that come into question here, but in the end, what we can't question right now is the fact that the allegations are real. They have been publicized. There are multiple women coming at him with these allegations. It's a damn shame that he finds himself in this situation. And there's going to be people out there that are saying, you know what, there's not criminal charges. We shouldn't be talking about it. Well, it's been publicized. We didn't go looking for this story. I don't want to talk about this. You don't want to talk about this. But the reality is that the allegations make it very, very real. And the NFL is going to treat it with the realness that it deserves. You know who the National Football League is. And you know the fact that Deshaun Watson has been accused of this, a young star, the best this side of Patrick Mahomes in terms of young, you know, him and Lamar Jackson, of course, as well. People are going to look at this. I find it, when I first heard this, all I could do is confess this too. Again, this is not me talking about the women and their allegations. That aside for a second. Looking at the timing of all of this, okay, in terms of him wanting out, ownership, some of the questionable things that have been going on with the Houston Texans, the first thought that came to my mind when I first heard the first allegation, oh, now we're hearing about this? Something's awry. But then another one came.
And now another one came. So far.
And I said, and that's so far. And I said, oh, damn. This does not look good for him at all. And it shifts the power, per se, to the Houston Texans right now in terms of what they want to do. Because if you're Deshaun Watson, what position are you in to push for anything right now when you've got this off-the-field matter to deal with? It's a tough spot for him to be in right now all the way around. I wouldn't, you know, he's got to handle his business.
Yeah, and gentlemen, I'll just say this. The NFL has declined to comment at this point. Obviously, I'm sure they're gathering details, and this story is literally unfolding as we speak. I'm getting emailed more and more. We'll revisit this a bit later. We'll bring in a football perspective. Damian Woody will join us, and we'll continue to react as the news evolves.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Mel, this is what I need in my life. Not only good energy from Coach Seth Greenberg. Coach, always good to see you. We know you always have a smile on your face. But the games start today. We have March Madness, something positive to talk about. So let's get it. Coach, thank you so much for being with us. And one of the games I'm going to have my eye on, of course, is Michigan State playing UCLA. That's today. How far? We've been focusing, obviously, on Michigan more so. But how far do you see Michigan State going?
Well, you think about the last 2 weeks, Molly, you took a Michigan State team that beat Michigan, Ohio State, and Illinois. That's two number ones and a number two. And I know that Michigan game kind of in your household probably was a little edgy. I'm sorry about that. But that's the very best of Michigan State. It's the very best of Michigan State. Here's the question for Michigan State. Can you be that team each and every night? Can you be that team for a complete weekend? Can you contest the three-point shot? Can you take care of the basketball? Can Rocket Watts run your team? Can Aaron Henry make big plays at the end? If they can, this team can go to a Sweet 16, maybe even Elite Eight. They can also get bopped by BYU. They can get bopped by UCLA. So the big question is, who will Michigan State be? I think they're going to be a Sweet 16 team at best.
You know, we talk about a lot of different things, Coach, and it's great to see you as always.
Good
we talk about
guys.
A lot of different things, man. You know, like, for example, I got Oklahoma State as my sleeper to go to the Final Four, that kind of thing. But it's time that we start talking about Gonzaga. They are the number one team in the nation. They are undefeated. If they run the table, what would this be, like the first undefeated team to win it all since when? I mean, I don't even remember. That's right. So talk to me about how good Gonzaga is. Can you put that in perspective for us? What do they have? What are they missing, if anything at all?
Gonzaga is a historically great offensive team. They're the most efficient offensive team in college basketball. So what do they have? If you break down their team, number one, the flow they run from transition game right into their offense, they're not a reset team. They have great high basketball IQ, but they go right from their fast break right into the flow and they play out of concepts and do as well as any team I've seen in a long, long time. What do they have? They got Jalen Suggs. I think he's the number one pick in the draft. All due respect to Cade Cunningham, but Jalen Suggs, 6'4", reminds me of Jason Kidd. Great vision, great feel, can shoot the three, can play downhill, great leadership skills, great toughness. They got Corey Kispert. Every time he shoots it, you think it's going in. They got Drew Timmy, a guy that has tremendous footwork. And I don't even mention Joel Yai. He's got the only triple-double in the history of Gonzaga. They're an elite offensive team. They have played with great flow. They share the basketball. They are a terrific shooting team, but they also score 51 points in the paint. They are that good offensively.
Which number one seed, Coach, do you think is most likely to get upset? Is it Michigan because of Livers' absence? Who would be number one to upset watch?
Yeah, Max, I think it is Michigan, and people underestimate what Livers does. I mean, Livers is a really special basketball player. One, he's a great leader. And every team needs a terrific leader, and he is a terrific leader. He's an extension of Coach Howard on the floor. But the other thing is, not only can he shoot it, not only is he rebound his position, not only is he an elite defender, he's a great cutter. Now, you can replace Isaiah Livers. You can play Shaun D. Brown, who's scored 20 points in multiple games. He's a double-figure scorer at Wake Forest. But then who replaces Shaun D. Brown? So it impacts your rotation, your substitution pattern. I look at them as being vulnerable. In the one game they played without him, they were 4-for-27 from the perimeter. It impacted Michael Smith. It impacted Wagner. It impacted Brooks. So I look at the loss of Livers as a huge loss. It's more than points and rebounds. It's how he spaces the floor, his cutting, his basketball IQ, and more importantly, his leadership. The dude is a world-class leader.
Coach, I'm looking at this now. I'm sorry, Molly. I want to get this in here because this kid, I'm sorry, not this kid, but I'm looking at Baylor as well. I want to go to Baylor at you know, I mean, they're number one seed, but what should we expect from them? How good are they? Or is this is it fluky a little bit? Talk to me about Baylor. I want to hear about this team.
Yeah, no fluke, Stephen A. This team is at the best backcourt in college basketball. They got five guards. Now they got two special guards, Davion Mitchell, Jared Butler. They're special. Not only are they shot creators and shot makers, but they're elite defenders. Then you got a guy like Maceo Teague, the third guard, and they're all ball guards, which are shot creators and shot makers. Teague made 10 threes against Texas Tech, an elite defensive team. Oh, by the way, they come off the bench with Matt Meyer. Matt Meyer is a 6'9 guard who can stretch a defense. The dude has a mullet. Any guy that can rock a mullet and make shots, you got to worry about. And then they've got Adam Flagler. Adam Flagler is a big-time jump shooter. They're an elite defensive team. They haven't been playing defending as well since the pause. I think they'll be fine. Jonathan Chama-Chachua up front does a nice job of helping and defending ball screens. He's got quick enough to get back into play. I think Baylor's a Final Four team. That guard play is as good as any backcourt I've seen in a long time because all those guys can make plays for themselves, make plays for others, have great feel, but most importantly, they defend. I talk about their defense. When their defense is right, they're the best defense I've seen since the old Jerry Tarkanian UNLV running Rebels teams.
Mm. Wow.
Mm. Oh,
wow.
That's right. Saying a lot.
They beat me by about 100 points.
That is saying a lot.
Let's bust
some brackets here, okay? I want to see the mighty fall. I want to see people cry, and I want to see them get eliminated. So tell me this. I only want to see UConn win. That's all I care about. Everyone else needs to lose, and that's not going to happen this year, but at least we're in the tournament. So, Coach, who's going to bust some brackets here in this first round?
Yeah, in the first round, I think Virginia Tech beats Florida. That's a 7-10. I'm not sure if it's a huge upset. Virginia Tech, they're probably the best screening team in the tournament. They've got multifaceted front court players. They've got bookend forwards and Luma and Mutz. Really, really hard to match up with. Tyrese Radford's a downhill driver. Really tough, aggressive defensive team. I mean, they're a dangerous team. Now, I'm going to go way, way outside the box. But teams coming off pauses. All right, two teams. You got Virginia coming off a pause, and you got Kansas coming off a pause. Virginia hasn't practiced in a week. They haven't practiced in a week. Yes, Allen Iverson, I'm saying practice. And that's an issue. Because that's a team that basically relies on being connected offensively and defensively. Watch out for Ohio University. Assist on 59% of the
field
goals.
That's where I was going.
Jason Preston, that dude is no joke. He's an NBA guard. Mm. He's a 6'4" point guard that sees over the defense. He's got a PhD in ball screen offense. You go under ball screens, he shoots 40 from the three. They got five guys averaging double figures. They are a dangerous team. For a Virginia team that, again, look, normally I wouldn't say this, but because they have not practiced, they're coming off a pause, they're leaving, arriving on Friday, playing a game on Saturday, have to pass two COVID tests in between that time period, that's an issue. And the other one I would say, just in general, I mean, is Georgetown and Colorado. Look, I watched Georgetown celebrate that championship, and there's a couple of reasons. They didn't just celebrate with each other. They celebrated with Pat Ewing. And when you have a group of players playing for their coach, right, it's different. It's just different. One thing, you're going to win the games you're supposed to win when you just play to play. But you got to have a cause. You got to be playing for something. And I just thought it was so cool watching that team celebrate. They weren't celebrating with each other. They were celebrating with Patrick. And look, they took care of the basketball. Blair can really shoot it, no doubt about it. They're protecting the front of the rim. They're playing vintage Georgetown basketball. I like the physicality, I like the toughness, but I also like the passion and the energy. And basically, you know, they had some guys leave. This group that stuck around got better as the season went along. They're playing their best basketball, and they're playing for their coach, and I think that's important.
Speaking of coaches, does Rick Pitino's squad have a chance against, I mean, you know, 3-and-D players, but a whole team, a 3-and-D team in Alabama? Do they have a chance in that game?
No chance. Look, Rick, this is his fifth team that he's gotten to the NCAA tournament. It's great. It's a great story. He's a masterful coach. There's no doubt about it. But they turn it over like 22% of their possessions, which is so bizarre for a Rick Pitino team because they're usually the ones that are turning you over. But Alabama's just too good. And what people don't understand about Alabama is what they do on the defensive end. elite defensive team. And Herb Jones, the SEC Player of the Year, is the most important player. You know, you can talk about Petway, you can talk about Shackelford, you can talk about the three-point shooting, you can talk about the pace. Herb Jones reminds me of Stacey Augmon for you guys who would understand. I mean, he's an elite defender. He can initiate your break off a defensive rebound. He can get to the rim. The ball just finds the dude. Like, when the game's on the line, the ball's going to find him, whether it's going to be deflection or a defensive player or a rebound. I don't see them surviving Alabama.
I know we got to go, Coach, just to let you know. I got Houston going to the Elite Eight. I'm not sleeping on Houston either.
Ooh, I don't know, Stephen A. Worry about Rutgers. Rutgers is legit. They are legit.
I'm not getting
Ron Harper, Miles Johnson, Steve Peichel. Houston is, that's a good pick because they defend any rebound, and Quincy Grimes has had a terrific year. Mm-hmm. I'd worry a little bit. I wouldn't sleep well when they play Rutgers if Rutgers advances.
I'm a little emotional. Clemson. Every time I've gone to one of their games, getting stuck in traffic, driving up a Scataway, they've gotten blown out. I'm holding it against them. It was years ago, but
it's
I'm still holding it against
him.
Them. What can I say?
It's about the traffic.
It is Stephen A's world, isn't it? Wait, he even has a show Stephen A's world.
There we go.
We're all living in Stephen A's world, Seth. All of us, especially me. You know what it is. All right, Coach, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for having me.
Enjoy the games.
Thank you.
Of course. All right. Max, you mentioned Rick Pitino. Well, he will join us tomorrow. We'll ask him about what Seth just said. What does he think about being in the tournament without Kentucky and Louisville involved? Find out Friday right here on First Take.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.